This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Sounds Choral, a program that explores the many aspects of choral music in ways designed not only to inform, but also to provide new food for thought and perhaps even enliven our journey together along the way. I'm your host, Deborah Simkin King, a choral conductor and artistic director based in Manhattan and northern New Jersey. I conduct four ongoing choirs, one of which is Ember, a semi-professional choral ensemble, and I serve as artistic director for Project Encore and Crescent Concerts. The music you just heard is part of Canadian composer Peter Wilshire's setting of Siegfried Sassoon's poem Everyone Suddenly Burst Out Singing, recorded live in concert by Ember in March of 2018. In our previous two segments, we've been looking at choral myths, things about choral music that are either misunderstood or perhaps simply not known. Those of us here today are well aware that choral music, for example, is much more than just religious music. Yet, that is a common misperception. And most of us here today probably know that, increasingly, choral music is used as a vehicle for conveying messages with social pertinence. Well, today I'd like us to take a look at what I think is a very exciting trend in choral music currently, that of energizing the legit choral medium with styles originating elsewhere, whether from lesser-known parts of the world, from the popular arena, or from regional styles of folk music. We're not talking about merely singing along with pop music. Rather, we are looking at taking melodic or stylistic material as a source of inspiration and deriving a legitimately new art form from it for the concert stage. Rather like what began happening with the spirituals tradition in the early 20th century, having now become a traditional part of the choral music canon. Many of us will recognize Dolly Parton's compelling song, Light of a Clear Blue Morning. At the hand of arranger Craig Hella Johnson, Ms. Parton's song has come to the choral stage in a form that demands full ensemble clarity and focus. Here is Craig Hella Johnson's own professional choir, Conspirare, out of Austin, Texas, performing his arrangement of Dolly Parton's Light of a Clear Blue Morning.
It's been a long, dark night, and I've been waiting for the morning. It's been a long, hard fight, but I see a brand new day dawning. I've been I can see
We have just heard Dolly Parton's Light of a Clear Blue Morning, arranged for the choral concert stage by Craig Hella Johnson, and sung here by his professional choir, Conspirare. In our next selection, a popular song about a rose is combined with a very ancient tune, Es ist ein Ross, or Lo, how a rose erblooming, in a very unique way, and I have never seen it fail to move audiences. Both the ancient hymn tune and The Rose, popularized by Bette Midler, share the concept of the beauty of a rose as a miracle. Listen to how, again, arranger Craig Hella Johnson weaves together these two very different melodies, and in doing so, creates a whole new art form that lives easily on the legit choral stage.
Aching need.
That was, once again, Conspirare, Craig Hella Johnson's professional choir out of Austin, Texas, singing his combination of the ancient hymn tune Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming and the popular song The Rose. I am Deborah Simpkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral. The choir calling itself London Contemporary Voices refers to itself as an alternative choir with a unique contemporary sound. It was founded by artists Anil Sebastian and Didier Rochard for Imogen Heap's concert called Love the Earth, which was presented in Royal Albert Hall in 2010. It will be surprising to many of us, myself included initially, that Imogen Heap's popular Hide and Seek works just as well on the choral stage as it does in her own studio. I would be interested in your thoughts on this after hearing this performance by London Contemporary Voices and Imogen Heap herself as soloist.
Your mouth, mid-sea talk, newspaper, work enough. can speak no feeling, oh, I don't believe you. You don't care a bit, you don't care a bit.
You just heard Imogen Heap's Hide and Seek, as performed by her as soloist and the London Contemporary Voices. This is not simplistic music, nor does it carry a simplistic message, nor is it easy to perform, this from personal experience with it. Whatever else we may say about it, it certainly represents a new openness in today's choral world to experimenting with and experiencing new idioms. Just this past summer, I met and began working with a composer whose professional path has taken her from initially very traditional classical roots into a variety of popular arenas, including writing commercial jingles, and is bringing her back at this point to a renewed love for choral music and for writing for choirs. The music of hers that I have performed represents a fascinating mix of musical genre, and she and I recently talked a little about this. I thought you might enjoy hearing part of our conversation, in addition to one of her pieces. This is Deborah Simkin King, your host for today on Sounds Choral, and my guest today on the show is Cheryl Engelhart, who describes herself as a singer-songwriter, and who is now writing choral music. Our Sounds Choral listeners know that we are looking at new trends in choral music, and Cheryl, you represent that. What has brought you to choral music, and tell us just a little bit about your background that has brought you to this point, if you could.
Sure. I definitely describe myself as a composer, singer, songwriter. So I got my start as a composer very early on, so that's sort of always been the first and foremost thing. And then I happened to be composing songs, and I called myself a singer-songwriter just because I didn't really want anyone else singing them. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm a singer-songwriter now. But the choral thing came kind of early for me. I mean, I was in a madrigal choir in high school that was very, very traditional, very academia sort of style. Like, we sang in the White House, we wore little bow ties, you know, we learned the Latin, we translated everything, we were doing solfège, you know, the whole shebang. It was intense for me, and I absolutely was in love with our choral director. And my junior year, she passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't, like, I tried to stay in the group longer, and I was just like, yeah, no, I just couldn't do it. So I joined the a cappella group, and then I went to college, and I did a cappella in college, and I arranged, and I was musical directing, and sort of definitely know now the difference between choral music and a cappella arrangements of pop songs. And not that one is better over the other, but they're just so different. And I really started to get that in college. I kind of went down the composer, you know, I was working for commercials and films, and I studied orchestration at Juilliard for a little while and sort of stepped away from focusing on vocal works. And other than my own sort of singer-songwriter projects, like piano pop, you know, records mm-hmm. that I was coming out with. Mm-hmm. And then a few years ago, I was traveling with, my husband is a mountain guide, and he happens to spend a lot of the summer in France in the Alps. And I had been going there every summer, but, you know, there's bad Wi-Fi. There's not a lot for a freelance composer to be doing there, especially when I'm trying to, you know, get video files and send, like, I needed some good internet. And it was lovely to be in France for a few months every summer, but I couldn't take that time off. So I started to see how could I be in the area, but also maybe do a residency or do something. And in my Google searches, I happened to come across a choral group that was auditioning in Boston, specifically to do a program that ended in a tour in France in this area. So I auditioned for that choir. It's called Voices 21C. And I got in, and it was just starting. It's a, you know, sort of a choir with a mission. And, I'm a shameful requester. I figured if you don't ask, you don't know. So I told the director that I had a piece I'd written that, you know, if he liked maybe we could work in the theme, sort of worked with the theme for that year, and he loved it. And then the next year he asked me to write another piece for the group, and I sort of was like, oh, I forgot that I could do this, and I can write for choral, and I can bring in some of the pop elements, but also some of the kind of film score-y orchestral things, but apply those to voice. And I really loved, you know, the parameters are so different than pop. In pop, it's like there's a verse and a chorus and a bridge and a verse and a chorus, and like the chords are fairly structured. If you go outside of them, you run the risk of then becoming like jazz or like neo, like, you know, some other genre. So, you know, there are definitely parameters within pop, which make it, you know, interesting to write for. But I also struggled because I think my lyrics, a lot of the comments I would get is like, the songs are great, the lyrics are a little esoteric.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you don't hear that in choral music.
No, esoteric works in choral music.
Yeah. So that was fun. So I kind of rediscovered that. And as soon as it sort of clicked, I started reaching out to different groups to see if people like you, to see if there are any holes in your program, because that was one of the things I do love parameters, but I think I needed a different set of parameters. And so, you know, working with a choir who already has a program, or at least is thinking about a program for their year with a theme and a message, sometimes there are holes. Like, we don't have anything really upbeat, or we don't have a great starting piece, or we have this theme, but we don't actually have a song that really, really says it like straight out. We have things that dance around the theme. So to be able to have like not just lyrical and text parameters, but also, you know, possibly tempo or feel, or we'd love to focus on a soloist or anything like that, is really fun for me to work with. And I think it's also still very freeing, because I think it's a very blank slate, choral music, unless those parameters get pretty specific. And so far I haven't had that, but it's been very fulfilling, and I'm excited to do a lot more of it. So that's sort of the nutshell story of how that happened.
Let's listen now to one of Cheryl's pieces, a piece in which she combines the edginess of tone clusters, almost shouted, with pop style vocal soloist, rap style verbal presentation, body percussion, and some fairly traditional choral textures. The text is her own, inspired and in part derived from a speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. In it, she calls out non-action as an act of violence and suggests that solutions begin with truly listening. The piece is, in fact, called The Listening. Here is Voices 21C, a Boston-based chamber choir under the artistic direction of André de Cuadros, singing The Listening by Cheryl Engelhardt while the group was on tour in Mexico City.
Rational, but we stay sane. Solve the problem with the solution there.
That was The Listening by Cheryl Engelhardt, sung by Voices 21C under the direction of André de Cuadros. I also asked Cheryl about her thoughts as a composer regarding crossover genres in choral music today.
If our larger context today has to do with crossover styles in choral music, which I find to be a trend that I see taking a variety of forms. I find that the century marks seem to have a lot of liveliness to them. And I don't know if that's an imagined thing because it seems like a major mark in history or if there's any reality to it. But it does seem like that mixing of genres, crossover forms, using the choral idiom to bring forward something that maybe originally was a different form entirely. I see a lot of this, and not just arrangements, but as we've seen in your piece, The Listening, taking stylistic elements, not lifting specific material, but taking stylistic elements and weaving them in new and fresh ways. I see so many fun examples of this. I don't know if you feel that your re-entry into the choral world gives you perspective on whether or not this is a trend, or maybe from your perspective, it's just kind of your voice at this point.
Yeah, it's funny because I know a theme of my life is I get bored easily. Hello, I married a mountain guide and I have a music career, which is like the most unpredictable career I could possibly pick. So, you know, I think just writing what comes and what feels right, like the fact that I combined some classical, some pop, and a little bit of a hip hop feel makes total sense to me. When I say it out loud, I'm like, is that a good idea? But yeah, it pulls from every part of my musical education for sure. And it wasn't deliberate. I knew what I needed a rap for. I knew what I needed a soloist to sort of warm up, that there will be a soloist later. The first alto soloist really is a prep for the audience to say, hey, you're going to hear another solo voice later and it's going to come at you. Mm-hmm. I knew I needed the conflict in the beginning in order to resolve into the pop chord. So it just happened that each genre sort of served a different purpose without necessarily feeling like I'm going to bring in multi-genre. This will be a multi-genre piece. Like it wasn't necessarily that. Like I had reasons, but it wasn't intentional in that way.
Got it. Yeah.
Creative artists themselves seldom seem to look at their place in history while they are following their muse. So I wasn't surprised that Cheryl didn't self-identify with any particular trend. Richard Strauss would undoubtedly be surprised to hear his theme in Till Eulenspiel referenced as often as it is as an early example of 12-tone writing. And although we often think of Claude Debussy when we hear music making noticeable use of whole-tone scales, he wasn't trying to start a new trend. Rather, he was simply responding to the many different sounds from around the world that he experienced at the 1889 Paris Exposition. So are we overthinking when we suggest that a seemingly increasing mixture of cultures and musical styles in choral music is on the rise, that it may even represent a trend of sorts? Well, perhaps. What is clear, however, is that there is an appetite on the part of singers, conductors, and audiences for music that breaks stylistic molds, and that this often leads to juxtaposing creative tools not traditionally associated. The pliability and skill of so many choral ensembles make them ripe for experimental techniques on the parts of today's composers. Back in the 20th century, many young composers cut their creative teeth on music for the stage. Today, believe it or not, many soundtracks written for video games are serving a similar purpose. In both 2008 and 2010, my Ember Ensemble, then known as Schola Cantorum on Hudson, performed a show at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center called Video Games Live. There's nothing quite like performing for several thousand screaming teenagers. Within the segment for the game Civilization IV, we found that composer Christopher Tin had embedded a setting in Swahili of all things, the Lord's Prayer. Well, since that time, Baba Yetu, the title of that segment, has been published separately and is performed independently.
Listen to what Alex Boyer and the Brigham Young University Men's Chorus and Philharmonic have done with this piece that bring together African style and language, video games technology, and American university singers.
Yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina baba yetu yetu liye funjina la koweli tukuzwe
yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina baba yetu yetu liye funjina la koweli tukuzwe
utupeli yo chakula chetu Choita chito same ma cosa e tu e come la settona hoa se me vale io tu case io so tu io cati camajari bulakini utoko e ayule e milala Majaribu lakini titoko we na yule
What a fascinating mix, creatively delivered by Alex Boyer and his Brigham Young University Men's Chorus and Philharmonic. One final really fun example with which we'll conclude our time together today is a six-movement work called Come Away to the Skies, a High Lonesome Mass. It draws on, among other things, 19th-century folk hymn arrangements originating in collections of the Sacred Harp and Southern Harmony, and upon liturgical service known as High Mass. The word high, when appearing with the word mass, usually indicates a service that is musical rather than one that is mainly spoken. The word lonesome is unique to the history of the bluegrass style of music. Come Away to the Skies, a High Lonesome Mass, was written by Wes Ramsey and Tim Sharp.
You'll hear, in addition to the wonderful Salt Lake choral artists, conducted by Artistic Director Dr. Brady Allred, a full bluegrass instrumental ensemble. This recording has just been released on the Salt Lake Choral Artists' new CD entitled Dear Appalachia, Come Away to the Skies. Enjoy listening to the introit, Kyrie, Sanctus, and Agnus Dei from A High Lonesome Mass, and listen for tunes you might recognize.
Come, come away.
To the skies, my beloved, arise and rejoice in the day thou wast born. On this festival day, come exulting away, and we sing in true Zion, return, return, and we sing to Zion, return, come away, come away, come away.
We have laid up our love and our treasures above the bodies.
Oh, regions of glory descend. Shepherds go worship the babe in the manger.
Holy, 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 holy
We have just heard Dr. Brady Allred's Salt Lake Choral Artists performing four movements from Wes Ramsey and Tem Sharp's Come Away to the Skies, A High Lonesome Mass. I am Deborah Simpkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral. I hope you've enjoyed looking at several examples of choral music that bring together very different styles, idioms, and cultures. And I hope that by enjoying even this small taste of some of what is new and exciting in choral music today, you will find it easier, whether to a next edition of Sounds Choral or to a live concert, to bring a friend. As always, I welcome your thoughts and feedback. Write to me at DeborahSKing@deborahsking.com or seek me out following a concert. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network, David Olsenberg, producer. I'm your host, Deborah Simpkin King. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to our website, wwfm.org, and clicking on Classical, then Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation in membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org. Until next time, happy listening.